This podcast is brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Keep Joy on air by becoming a member, a subscriber, or donate. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.
You're listening to a podcast of Trans Positions on Joy 94.9. For more, head to joy.org.au/transpositions.
Good evening. It is Tuesday night again. You are listening to Trans Positions. My name is Michelle, joined by my gorgeous co-host, Migsy.
Oh, Michelle, you're such a flirt.
Oh, I know I am.
You are always flirting with me. What is it?
Well, I'm trying to be nice to you because tonight I decided that I needed to bring in your psych, and we're going to have a long talk about how crazy you are.
No, I'm not crazy, I promise. And my psychiatrist...
He asked if this is going to be a four-hour show. So, I mean, you know...
Hey, look, it's only an hour session. Normally.
I mean, it's longer than the three-hour tour on Gilligan's Island, so, you know...
Oh, God, you are crazy. Yeah, that is absolutely right. Look, you know, Michelle has said, yes, we do have one of my favorite doctors coming through. We do have Dr.
Don't Yoko... suck up.
No, I'm trying to be really nice to him. Dr. Yoko Erasmus, he is the head of the Monash Health Gender Dysphoria Unit. So he is with us tonight, and he's going to be able to hopefully, maybe, possibly, if you're extra nice with what you say to us, maybe answer some questions. So if you do have questions, you know the deal. You know how to get through us. Well, this is a magic way in which you'd go and do it.
We're listening to you. SMS 0427 JOY 949. Email onair at joy.org.au or call us 1300 JOY 949.
Yes, so that is the magic way that you do get in contact with us. And if you do have a question for Dr. Yoko, as I said, he is the head of the Monash Health Gender Dysphoria Unit. Or clinic, I should say, is probably the correct way of saying it. I might get in trouble later on.
So again, we're going to do a prognosis on you, put you on the couch, have him ask you about your mother. That's a touchy subject.
No, well, let's not go there. Anyway, look, I tell you what, we do have some great music lined up for you guys tonight. I have gone out.
You always have your little list.
I have gone all out again tonight.
What's our theme?
So I've gone 2012.
2012.
I've gone 2012. Okay. So I do actually have lined up for tonight. I do have some Maroon 5, Aguilera. Okay, they're coming very, very soon. So, you know, make sure you do save for that. I do have some Simple Plan. I do have some Kesha. Oh. I do have some One Direction.
You were so dancing that first one. I'm going to take a video of you dancing to that too.
You sure?
Hey, they got me headbanging last week.
Actually, yes, I did. And I've also got some David Guetta as well and Nicki Minaj. And I've got a good music tonight. So
that's good stuff.
As I usually do. So I tell you what. How about we have some Maroon 5 and we have about some Christina Aguilera and we talk about maybe some moves like Jagger. You're listening to Trans Positions, Joy 94.9.
Woo! A diverse sound for a diverse crowd. Joy 94.9.
That is right. It is a diverse sound for a diverse bunch of people. Michelle, how are you?
I'm doing good, honey. How are you?
Very good. Guess what time it is, Michelle?
It's our time, isn't it? Yes.
Fair friend, the news. Michelle, I know that you were sort of... Well, you were trying to find something different on the interwebs tonight.
Oh, my God. I'm so sick of bathrooms. I'm sick of North Carolina. I am sick of just... It's all the same junk.
Isn't it crazy?
Trans 101, how not to talk to a trans person. Truth, myths, and lies. You know? Just come on.
We've done an episode about talking about what not to say to a trans person. Actually, I went on... Yeah. It's a while ago. Last year, I went on Bent TV, and I did a thing as well.
Yeah.
What not to say to a trans person.
Just, I think we get the idea now.
It's like, come on, guys, okay. Let's move along.
Let's move along, people. Okay, so outside bathrooms, outside North Carolina, I'll touch on the U.S. first. So Nigerians hate Caitlyn Jenner's transgender reality so much they got it banned throughout Africa.
Are you serious?
Fair dinkum. It is full on.
So let's talk about this, about I Am Kate. Now, I a while ago last year, before I went to where I got invited to a preview, and I went to the preview of I Am Kate, and I thought, okay, I like it. I think it's good. Well, boy, was I wrong. But the first episode I liked, and I wrote it like a really positive review on it. I thought it was really good. I thought it was going to set the framework and the groundwork of something really positive. But then she really opened her mouth.
Yeah.
And then it's just like, it was all downhill from there.
Yeah, it's just not getting the traction that it needs. And look, at the same time over there, they had, what's it called? I Am Jazz has also been banned as well there in Africa, too.
Are you serious?
They're not fans.
Okay, so do you know what we should do? We should try and get some funding from somewhere. I think we need to go to Africa. I think we need to go to the Nigerian Prime Minister.
Look, we need to first do the road trip across the U.S. before we do that.
I think we need to go to North Carolina.
Yeah. I'll go. Hell yeah.
You know what?
I'll do some grocery shopping.
Some of the people listening, you might have come across one of our wonderful people called T. T's an announcer here. And T suggested that if we had funding, we should go there. We should go to North Carolina and we should pretend to be bathroom cops. And actually ask cisgender people when they're going to the bathrooms for like IDs and proof that they are going to the right bathrooms. I reckon that'd be so cool.
No, seriously, I'm going to find a trans man with a glorious beard and dress him like Jesus and have him walk around like Target or something and just freak people out.
Yeah.
Well, yeah, that'll be even better.
You are a different Michelle, aren't you?
Hey, that'll get their point across.
okay, what else is on
there's some other cool stuff. There was a Science Daily had an article regarding... hormone treatment in transgender persons could shed light on the role of sex hormones in bone density. So male to female transgender persons have a greater increase in bone mineral density than female to male persons in the first year of hormone treatment. It sounds like they're really kind of looking... What?
Well, you know, we've got a doctor in the house. He might be able to answer that.
He does your head. He doesn't go and talk about your bones.
Well, there's bones in my head, Michelle. Hello.
He's got to get through those to get to your brain.
It's actually really funny when I had my face work done. They actually cut out a piece of bone.
Yeah.
They could have talked through that.
Send him a photo and say, yeah, there really is one in there?
No, but they went and stuck it back on and then sort of stitched me back up again. They peeled me like a banana. It was crazy. It was really funny.
Did they have leftover screws and go, oh, look, we didn't need them all?
It's really funny. A couple screws in there now, but they're not quite loose.
Yeah. And tighten them all. Yeah, you do have screws in your head, don't you?
You're the one with loose screws at the moment. We've got the perfect person for you, Michelle.
Yeah, I know, exactly. I need a third opinion.
Yeah, exactly. I'll give you the fourth opinion.
Yeah, exactly. Chinese transgender man fights for job equality. A 28-year-old transgender man who goes by the name Mr. C has become the public face of the fight for job equality in China, where sexual and gender minorities are only in the beginning to emerge from virtual invisibility.
Okay.
It sounds like he's taking a page out of my book.
Sounds like
Okay, what else do we have? Single-sex schools in transition as transgender students gain acceptance. So we've got the only male student at his Catholic girls' school.
Oh, okay. run that by me again, because I was busy doing something else.
Pay attention. Okay?
I'm getting the show ready. Oh, we've already started.
Yeah, exactly. You're a few minutes late. Anyway, so basically, trans teenager.
Yes.
Okay. Female to male.
Right.
At a girls' school, was in transition. and is the only boy at this
Yeah. Whereabouts is this?
Oh, this one is in... Oh, where the hell is this one? I think it's here, actually.
Really?
Yeah, exactly.
How does that work?
No idea.
So it's in Australia?
Yeah, yeah.
Which state? Don't tell me Victoria.
No, no, no. Didn't say.
Queensland?
I don't know.
Could be Queensland.
Could be Queensland.
I was going to say, actually, talking about news and those kinds of things, I came across a really good news story, actually. Well, sort of a good news story, but mm-hmm. one of the things I'd come across in for a while is that there was no health services for LGBTI people in the Northern Territory. And what's happened recently is they're actually opening an LGBTI centre up.
Oh, are they? Because I heard the families are moving to Queensland.
Yeah. So there's Darwin, Northern Territory.
No, they're moving from Northern Territory, Darwin. They're going to like Queensland because
They're doing that. But the guys at Northside Clinic, I think they're actually doing something in Darwin. So they're established. Yeah. So one of the doctors, Dr. Ruth, I think she's going up there for about a month or so to sort of help set up and get people working and doing things. And
well, they need it.
I think that's really good because now they're not going to have to go from Darwin to Queensland to get help, whether it be HIV stuff or whether it be sexual health or whether it be trans-related issues. I think that's great news. Guess what?
What's that?
You're out of the internet, interwebs time.
No!
You are! Guess what? It's done.
Yeah, so, just shut my mic off. No, I don't shut up.
Guess what? I'm not going to do that tonight. I can tell you what, I'm going to play some messages.
She's been good because you're here.
I think that's it.
So she doesn't come across as crazy.
You're the crazy one, Michelle.
She's got her finger like right in the button. She's massaging the button, too.
You're listening to Transpositions, Joy 94.9.
Hi, this is Dami Im. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member. Call 1-300-JOY-949 now.
Joy 94.9.
Oh, oh, take me back. Oh, yeah. Back to summer paradise.
My heart is sinking as I'm living. Away from you, and I can't believe I'm leaving. Oh, I don't know what I'm gonna do, but someday I will find my way back to where your name is written in the sand. My soul is broken, streets are frozen. I can't stop these feelings melting through. And I'd give away a thousand days, oh, just to have another one with you.
What'd you say?
Where real life can wait.
It can wait.
We're crashing like waves.
Uh-huh.
We're playing in the sand.
Yeah,
let's go. 'Cause I remember every sunset. I remember.
Oh, gotta love some heartbeats. That was Simple Plan, Get Your Heart On. You are listening to Transpositions, Joy 94.9.
That didn't sound right.
What?
you did the same thing, didn't you?
What? What?
You said it so fast. You said, get your heart on.
Oh, wow.
What an introduction.
Wow, guess okay, what?
Do we need to have to speak about your Freudian slips here with the doctor?
Yeah, that is very good.
Jaco, don't do that.
So we're here to talk about your mother.
Michelle?
And she cringes. No, don't touch my mic.
Michelle? that button looks really good. So we do have... Jaco, welcome to us. Welcome to our show. We do have Dr. Jaco Erasmus. Yeah. And as I said before, he is the head of the Gender Dysphoria Unit at Monash Health, and he's come to talk to us about stuff.
He said once you start talking, he's going to actually start the clock.
Is he?
Yeah.
Oh, well, okay. Look, I was going to say...
It's not like a petrol pump.
Ding, ding, ding. I was going to say, if you guys do have a question for Jaco, if you do have something that you want to say, send us a text message 0427-JOY-949, or you can also email us
on air at joy.org.au.
Michelle, what's going on with you tonight?
I don't know. I was going to ask the doctor, see, how long did it take you to finally figure out Migsy's problems?
We're still in the process.
Okay, yeah.
4 years old.
So, Dr. Jaco, you are obviously you're quite nervous coming in, which is okay. It's just Michelle and I, and it's just you talking in this room, and it's all good.
Only all of Melbourne can hear you. I think Russia can too.
Russia, I'm sure Vladimir Putin's really interested in what I have to say. But let's not talk about Russia. Let's not talk about Vladimir Putin. Let's start to talk about the Monash Health Gender Dysphoria Unit. Now, you've recently become the head of that unit. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct. So Dr. Fintan Hart stood down in December, and in March they offered me the position, which I was very honoured to take on. It's a great position. Got some fabulous leaders who've led the clinic in the past. And it's, I keep saying these are very exciting times, and it's the best time to be trans and gender diverse in Melbourne at the moment.
It really is. One of the things I suppose I wanted to sort of really start to get my mind around is it is under new management. You've started from scratch, so to speak. What are some of the things? Well, Michelle's putting your finger up.
Well, I was going to say, for those who don't know what the centre is.
Yeah, well, what is?
Well, we explain what the centre is.
Let's talk about what the centre
is. We're going to talk about it under new management.
Yeah.
You can explain to us, in your words, what the centre is.
Absolutely. So we're one of the only publicly funded gender clinics in the country. We're the largest. We've been operating since 1975, I think it was. We're primarily a mental health clinic. So when I started, there have been two psychiatrists. We're tiny clinic. We're only open 2 days a week. So the two psychiatrists are only employed for an afternoon each, so 1 day in total. We have a psychologist who works there for 2 days, a social worker for 2 days, and that's it. So it's a really small clinic. The clinic does get funding as well to pay for speech therapy, and we have a small amount of money that can go to help people pay for surgery. We've got very good relationships with private surgeons and endocrinologists, but they're all private. So that's what it is at the moment, and it's a very small clinic.
Okay.
So... under new management, so you are now the new head of the unit. What exactly has changed, and what are you planning to change in the future with the clinic itself?
Correct. So I suppose the first thing that I wanted to do was I wanted to place far less emphasis on the psychiatry component of the clinic. And I know that over the years I've been listening to consumers, everyone's saying we want more psychology, more counselling support. And so the first change that I made was to increase the amount of psychology time that we have at the clinic. I thought that was very important. Second one was that we still have a major problem with our waiting list. It's been 12 months. I think it's almost 18 months at the moment. And we know that that's the most dangerous time for people. Once they've made the decision, they've been umming and ahhing and toiling over it for years, and they've made the decision, I need to do something. And then to be told, good luck, it's 12 to 18 months. So a very dangerous time, that. And so we've arranged for our social worker to actually make contact with people who are on the waiting list to provide support while they're waiting.
And that's one thing we talked about off air before we came on was when I started my transition, same as you, Mings, we didn't know where to go, and what to do. And I know I was told the same thing, 12-month wait, and unless I went private, and I'm still paying that off on my credit card now, unfortunately.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with me as well. I had the same sort of deal, and it's just like, well, what do? You have to go private, unfortunately. And it is expensive. Sorry, okay? I don't mean in the nicest possible way, but there's obviously...
You'll take your hormones away.
No. No, don't. But you know, obviously, there is a difference in terms of, you know, if you have to go private, you know, sometimes that's what you have to do because of the wait times. But moving forward, obviously, psychology is one of the big things. How has things changed? Well, how are you planning on having things change? Because the previous model, obviously, was quite limited with the amount of psychologists that were out there. Is there like a network of psychologists being established, or what's happening in that space?
Yeah, so the other big change we made is that 2 years ago, Fintan Hart and myself recognised that there were a couple of psychologists who were interested in working privately in the field but didn't have the confidence, I suppose, to do the work. And so we set up a peer support group. It started off with four of us, and I'm pleased to say we're now 16. So there's definitely an interest in working in the field.
Do you think that we'll start seeing those wait times dropping then?
Well, certainly what I've noticed is that our referral number over the last 2 years has plateaued. So I'm wondering whether the reason it's plateaued is because people are going private.
Because what we saw with the adolescent centre was an exponential increase in terms of new referrals that were going through in that space. But obviously yours, it's plateaued. But as you said, it seems that they're going through to private practice. So that's what maybe not being captured.
Well, it's good that there's more coming up, because I know with us, as we got more involved in things, we started seeing within the forums, whatever, that there was only you and Fintan. It's the only people anyone talked about. And so it's nice that we're going to start seeing some new names, and they're all going to be associated with the clinic.
Certainly, as I say, we're all kind of keen on working together. The clinic's intake worker has everyone's details, so we can provide that information. We're actually looking at setting up a website or a Facebook page that it's a one place we can go to get information about who's out there and available. Obviously, one of our big issues is accessibility for people who are remote and distance, and so we provide information of who is able to offer telehealth consultations.
Well, I'll tell you what, there's probably a lot more that we can talk about. We are going to have a short message and then we are going to come back. So as I said, if you do have messages for Yucko, 0427JOY949, or also email us on air at joy.org.au is the way to reach us. I have got some messages and I've got some great music lined up, so make sure you do stay with us. You are listening to Transpositions at Joy 94.9.
Hello, this is Julia Zamiro and you're listening to Joy 94.9. Lucky you.
Nobody can touch. Looking for some trouble tonight. Take my hand, I'll show you the wild side. Like it's the last night of our life. We'll keep dancing till we die. I hear your heartbeat to the beat of the drums. Oh, what a shame that you came here with someone. So while you're here in my arms, let's make the most of the night, like we're gonna die young.
miss that you've got a crush. That magic in your pants, it's making me blush. Looking for some trouble tonight. Take my hand, I'll show you the wild side. Like it's the last night of our lives. We'll keep dancing till we
in Transpositions, Joy 94.9, that got some Kesha going on and Die Young. Michelle's giggling away.
I'm waiting for you to screw it up.
No, I'm
you're being good. You're trying to be good tonight because your doctor's here.
I'm a consummate professional, Michelle. You
are.
Know that.
Shush.
I'm very professional when it comes to radio.
Look, you're right, boob. Can you just like get rid of that, please? What?
Oh, yeah. It's probably some of my dinner, which is...
probably is. Yeah, I hate when you go to, like, the movies and get popcorn down your bra, and I just go and fish for it.
Yeah, no, it doesn't happen to me.
Because you wear, like, turtlenecks and stuff. You're like, up to the... You're like a nun.
No, I'm not. I'm not like a nun. Michelle, look, you know about me, my religious beliefs. There are none.
There are none.
There are none.
So, doctor.
Doctor.
Doctor. So we were talking about some of the things you're hoping to change or going forward with the center, or can you explain maybe a bit more about that?
Well, it's a bit like Christmas because the government's given us bucket loads of money.
Which is nice.
Which is very exciting. It's very impressive, and a lot of people obviously have put, have added to that. So, you know, people like David Clark, who's the head of Monash Health Mental Health, Fintan Hart, Vicky Sinnott, but the task force as well with Brenda Appleton did a lot of lobbying to get that funding secured. And so $6 million, I think, will go a long way. We've clearly got a task to make sure that we make a service that's accessible in terms of geographic location, time, etc., but also comprehensive. So it's not just going to be a mental health clinic. We need to be able to provide endocrinology, hair removal, surgery, the whole lot.
So clearly, with the change of times in the recent years, it's clear that there's a need for the change and the upgrade of the center.
Absolutely. It's huge.
So where do you start first? What's your first issue that you want to tackle moving forward once the funding's released?
So we need to kind of design the service and work out which components we want, what the priorities are. And so what we've decided in line with Monash Health's policies is that we are very keen on a client-centered approach with consumer participation. So we're setting up a consumer advisory group, which we're going to be advertising that perhaps through you guys within the next few weeks, for people to come and join the group and meet with us at Monash Health so that the clinic is yours, and it's important that you contribute to how it's set up.
Definitely.
So people can start to come up with ideas and how best suits them or what could be good for the community overall.
Yeah.
Which is good.
It is good. I'd say some of the best things that one of the things I think through transition, like in the early days of transition, once you start, it's knowing where you can go and get more advice on and just even that mental health during that time until things sort of settle, and it'd be great to see what kind of services are there to help in that period. Now, over the years, I've heard so many different myths about the gender center and all that stuff.
I've heard some crazy ones as well.
Yeah. Can you just catch us up?
Yeah, the old gatekeeper mentality and those
kinds of things. Yeah, yeah. But I think that's... I mean, we're talking 2 decades ago.
We are talking... Well, even nearly. More recently than that as
yeah.
well.
But see, I don't think it's probably that recently. But can you debunk or tell us maybe the latest of the environment or the culture of the gender center?
Sure. Well, certainly the biggest one that I still get people getting very anxious about is... the idea that I'm going to tell them whether they're trans or not. and whether they're trans enough to even go ahead with any kind of hormone-related medical transition. That's certainly not my role.
So what is your role then? How does it work? Because if you're not there to tell them that they're not trans enough, well what are you there for?
Well, I'm there to make sure that they're not mentally ill.
Right.
Because if you're, in terms of your, I'm curious about how you've come to the realization of what your gender identity is.
Yes, right. But exactly. Do you have the realization of your gender identity?
Well, you know, we're talking to Yoko. He's answering the question.
No, go ahead.
But that's a really good point.
It is a good point.
Yeah.
So it's really about if you've come to that realization through some kind of mental illness, either through, you know, some kind of psychotic process or severe personality disorder, then it's important that we treat that. So actually, you want to come to me and I don't give you a diagnosis. That's the good thing.
So not getting a diagnosis is actually the right way of going.
Absolutely.
But you talk about comorbidities in terms of what happens, which can be, I suppose, would you say a comorbidity, or is there something else which is going which may make someone think that they are trans? Does that happen pretty often, or how does that work?
So people worry about that because they often want to try and minimize the fact that they might suffer from a personality disorder or have are neurodiverse and have Asperger's or anything like that, because they don't want to tell us about that in case they think, ooh, you know, if I have a comorbidity, I'm not allowed to transition. And that's not the case at all. We're more than happy to support you. It's just about the level of support that you need. Invariably, people with significant comorbidities need extra support, and that's what it's about. It's about setting up that extra support. There's a difference between comorbidity and a differential diagnosis. So some people who have, psychosis, where they hear voices telling them to transition, that's one example, or a person with different personalities, split personalities, where there are male and female personalities, and both personalities are arguing about what the body should look like.
So therefore, they're the types of issues that you really need to try and work through and try and understand.
Yeah.
Because I suppose a rational person wouldn't come to you saying, oh, I just want to transition just for hell of it, just for shits and giggles.
Yeah, this is not something I'd wish on anyone, to be quite honest. If I could have come to you and you said to me that, no, you're not trans, I probably went, then what the hell's wrong with me?
Because it's a crazy thing to go through, isn't it?
Like I said, you know, it's not something I really would wish on anyone.
Yeah.
And that's what I try and tell parents as well, who are often really scared that their child's made the wrong decision. I said, actually, you need to encourage your child, because this is amazing courage that they have to face this.
That's a big thing. Mm. What are some of the other myths which have happened within the clinic over the past couple of years, which are really, they are just myths? I think we're turning into mythbusters here.
Yeah, we are.
Jamie and Andy. Yeah.
Can I be the one with a really big walrus mustache?
Yeah, well, that's
okay,
you.
That sounds good.
I can be Adam Savage.
That sounds good. The balding one?
No, I'm not quite balding, but I've got the blonde hair.
Okay, there you go.
It's very grey underneath, really.
I just want the big walrus mustache. Yes. Anyway.
I had a goatee at one stage.
Yeah, no, so did I.
You did too. Sorry.
Anyway.
Sorry, Yoko.
Well, you look great with a goatee.
I'll show you a picture later.
The segue to that is non-binary. More than happy with non-binary identities. There was this myth that we don't see people who are non-binary, and that's not true. I even use they pronouns.
Great. So non-binary, do you get many non-binary clients coming through?
Many. We're starting to get really, it's really good. I think people are feeling far more comfortable. And to be honest, I think they probably have a tougher journey just because society still doesn't get non-binary identities. Society's starting to get its head around trans, but non-binary, it's tough.
Yeah, so binary trans people starting to, but yeah.
Would you eventually see maybe non-binary becoming its own sort of category separate from trans, or do you still see that as trans as well?
So there's a huge overlap.
That's one thing I'm still curious about.
But I suppose when you look at it, it's actually on a continuum, the gender continuum from one side to another.
Yeah.
You know, both you and I probably identify on one side, but my take on it is people sort of sit somewhere on that continuum, one or the other.
There are 20 million Australians, and there are probably 20 million gender identities.
Wow, which is kind of really scary. I saw a statistic a while ago which said there's like about 0.3% of the population were gender variant or gender diverse. Is that a realistic statistic, do you think?
Well, unfortunately, we don't know. And unless we do that in the census, we're not going to know.
Yeah.
It could be anything, even up to 2%.
Up to 2% of people?
That's what
But seriously, is anybody really hardcore one way or the other?
Why?
Or in the middle. I mean, it's because I mean, I got my days where I can be a bit fluid and I throw on a ball cap and some in a hockey jersey.
You look kind of cute when you like that as well.
Well, you know, I rock it though.
Yeah, you do actually. But it's just, look, you know, there's moments as well. Like I go through my stages where I don't feel very femme. I just jeans and t-shirt.
I don't think I've ever seen you do anything masculine since transition.
I'm quite comfortable within myself now. Thank you very much, Michelle.
You are doing quite well.
Thank you.
I'm giving you trouble. Oh.
But while we've got another minute left, Miss, what other myths are there that you've come across?
Well, I think the I'm trying to think. Do we need a diagnosis? Well, I don't think we do. I'm very disappointed that the DSM diagnosis still exists, and I'm looking forward to the day that that goes. What I am hoping people have is that they do have persistent gender dysphoria, but that's just a phenomenon. That's not a diagnosis.
Mm.
And I think we will go. 2018 is going to be a very exciting year when the ICD publishes its new classification system, because that'll be the first time that gender variance leaves the mental health chapter and becomes its a category of its own.
So just to clarify, ICD and DSM, for those who don't know, what's DSM?
So the DSM is a diagnostic manual for psychiatric disorders. It's written by the Americans for the Americans. It's a money cash cow for the Americans.
Like people in North Carolina and those kinds of people. Let's not go there. But what's ICD?
The ICD is the International Classification of Disease, published by the World Health Organization. It covers all sorts of medical conditions.
So two separate organizations altogether.
Huge difference.
Okay.
We'll come back. Actually, I've got some follow-up, actually, a weird twist to that.
All right. We're going to post some messages. We're going to come back. You are listening to Transpositions. Joy 94.9. Don't go anywhere. We're going to follow up with those amazing questions. You're listening to Megsy and Michelle.
Hello there. I'm funny lady Judith Lucy. Support Joy 94.9 or else get r***ed.
You're insecure. Don't know what for. You're turning heads when you walk through the door. Don't need makeup to cover up. Being the way that you are is enough. Everyone else in the room can see it. Everyone else but you. Baby, you light up my world like nobody else. The way that you flip your head gets me overwhelmed. But when you smile at the ground, it ain't hard to tell. You don't know. You don't know you're beautiful. If only you saw what I can see. You'll understand why I want you so desperately. Right now I'm looking at you and I can't believe. You don't know. You don't know you're beautiful. That's what makes you beautiful. So cook, come on.
Yes, the way that you flip your head gets me overwhelmed. But when
You are listening to Transpositions. This is Michelle and Mingzi.
Yes,
that's
it is.
What makes you beautiful.
Oh, Michelle, thank
especially
you.
Especially when you're giving
much.
Me the middle finger off air.
I was going to say, I love One Direction.
You do love One Direction. Oh, look, I've been enjoying giving you trouble with your doctor here. You know I love you.
Michelle, you actually really am embarrassing me here.
Good.
I'm going to have to pay double for the next time I go.
Good. Oh, you pay double. He'd be like, I think I need to see Michelle. There's something wrong with her.
I'm going to be talking to Yucca just about you.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm having issues with my partner on air. So we were talking about the DSM.
Yes.
And I said it was interesting that certain companies have found loopholes because the DSM, they can get support and services from the government and things like employment and whatever. And so can you explain a bit more how that's going to affect?
Yeah, this is unfortunately a problem that the other place we've seen it is with superannuation, that they often want to know what your diagnosis is if you want early release of superannuation. And also for paying the health insurance companies for paying for chest surgery, for example, they actually need a diagnosis, and some of them actually want the insist it must be a psychiatric diagnosis, and therefore you need psychiatric cover to get top surgery, which is just insane.
So a cisgendered woman can go and get like 4 top ups and triple G implants, but we need to get a letter.
But she won't be able to use her health insurance.
Mm.
So that's the only difference. But so that is one of the problems, is that if the diagnosis goes from DSM, what happens? And my hope is that ICD will then take that place.
Okay.
ICD gets used in the UK and many other countries. So there really is no need for a psychiatric diagnosis.
Which is good.
Yeah, that's very good.
We're not crazy.
No.
We're definitely not crazy. But actually, I
can confirm.
Yes, I like this guy.
Makes you say, hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Praise the Lord.
No, I'm an atheist. He can come anytime he likes. But this is the thing. Look, you see all these stories going around saying that, yeah, trans people, they're mentally insane, they're crazy, they should be in asylums and those kinds of things. But really, in reality, we're quite rational, normal people for the most part. Except for the strange twitch I've got. But no, seriously speaking, it's just like, it seems to be quite irrational when people say those kinds of things.
Absolutely. In terms of, you know, severe psychiatric conditions like schizophrenia, that's actually pretty rare. But unfortunately, you know, depression, anxiety is incredibly prevalent in the community. But that's not because of their because you're trans. It's because of society's reaction to the fact that you're trans.
That's the stigmatism which comes along with it.
That's right.
Yeah, which is kind of scary. Yeah.
A lot of education tonight.
It's good. I'm learning stuff. I won't have to go to another session.
Yeah.
Yoko's looking at me saying, yes, you do. Damn. I thought I got away with it. But, you know, I saw this statistic a little while ago. I think it was something that you delivered, which said that there was a 28% chance of 28% of trans people commit suicide in between the time they come out and seek help and before they finally get help. Is that that's a real statistic, which is really quite scary when you think about it.
It is very scary. But there are vulnerable times throughout. That's certainly one of the biggest ones. Once you've started transition, that's a vulnerable time as well, because again, it's the stigma from society, post-surgery, all these are all very vulnerable times. The annoying thing, of course, is that some of the right-wing lobbyists have jumped onto some of the stats and misinterpreted them and given us false information. You know, there's no doubt that when you look at suicide attempts, the suicide attempts dramatically lower as people transition. So we're doing the right thing.
And that's even after surgery as well?
Even after surgery. It's still a little bit higher than the general population, but certainly the numbers drop dramatically.
But as we talked about in previous shows, and you had to do things with, wasn't so much the surgery itself, but I had to do a lot with the reaction from society and people's dealing with the stigma from and just personal attacks and everything. So
And look, the other question I was going to ask, sort of just coming off the surgery question, does it matter as to what type of surgery? Because when we look at trans people, there's lots of different types of surgeries that they can have for trans men. It can be top surgery or it can be lower surgery. For trans women, it could be facial surgery, or it could be voice, it could be, I don't know, breast augmentation and genital surgery. Is it variable as to when we talk about that potential for mortality with trans people? And that statistic?
I don't think that's been looked into, but certainly what there is, which I find quite fascinating, is what is protective. In other words, what reduces your suicide risk? And the only surgery there that's been proven is facial feminization.
So facial feminization is one of those things which, you know, would be great if it could be covered by government.
Absolutely.
By Medicare.
And I suppose it partly just re-emphasises that it's societal stigma that causes the stress. And so once you can reduce that, it's all good.
I'm going to speak from my own perspective, from my own experience. So for me, facial surgery made a hell of a difference.
Mm.
It made me a lot more comfortable within myself and just living out, going and doing my normal life.
See, for me, I guess I've been dealing with my own face. I'm happy with my face. I mean, of course, I mean, if I could get something done, you know.
But you're cute anyway.
Well, yeah. But for me, it's top surgery, because for me, I can't wear certain things or certain clothing. Yeah. And when I do take off my clothes, I'm standing there and I'm going, okay, I just look like an overweight man with man boobs.
Well, for me, top surgery as well is also something as well. So I think this is quite common with lots of trans people. But anyway, look, I tell you what, sadly, we have run out of time. We have run out of time.
But so I was having fun.
I know, but Yoko needs to go home.
Fine.
He needs to go home. Look, Yoko, thank you so much for joining us tonight.
It's my pleasure.
Yeah. Will you come play with us again soon?
Absolutely.
Definitely.
You can come play with us anytime you like. This is your first time on radio. Did you enjoy it? Really? Are we that bad?
Sweaty palms.
Really?
In a couple weeks, and in sure, in a couple weeks' time, he'll be playing in your head. So that's all right.
He probably will be, actually.
I will get my revenge.
Well, you are going overseas in a moment for the WPATH conference, and then you'll be back, and then you're probably getting it inside my head. You are listening to Transpositions.
Hi, this is Dami Im. Support Joy 94.9 by becoming a member. Call 1-300-JOY-949 now.
Joy 94.9.
It is the end of the show, unfortunately.
It is.
It is. It's gone really quickly. So, look, guys, thank you so much for joining us tonight. We really have appreciated you spending that hour calling up and listening to us and downloading apps. And big shout out to Katie and all those other people who are out there listening to us for the first time.
Well, we definitely will have Yucko back soon. If you did miss tonight's show, you can get us on our podcast. You can download it via the App Store on either both Google and the TuneIn app, or you can get us on the podcast app on the Apple Store.
Yeah, iTunes.
iTunes Store.
Yep.
Transpositions, are you looking forward? Get us on the Facebook page on?
Yeah, well, Facebook is facebook.com/ Transpositions on Joy. Obviously, all one word, of course, because it's a URL.
And we're also Twits, which are on TransposJoy949.
We've got an Instagram feed.
We've got an Instagram feed as well. Whatever the hell that is, I can't remember.
We've also got,
But if you want to get the whole back catalog of all of our shows, you can get us on joy.org.au/transpositions.
Yes. And we sometimes do post stories up there as well from time to time. There's actually something I want to write for someone. She's a comedian, and she had this great little comedy act about North Carolina, the biggest in the US.
Oh, that'll be interesting.
Yeah. Look, thank you so much for joining us tonight. I'm going to take you out. I do have some David Guetta and Nicki Minaj lined up. Nothing but the beat. You have been listening to Transpositions. See you guys next week.
Good night.
Good night.
Something I need your love, I need your love, I need your loving. You got that kind of medicine that keep me coming. My body needs a hero, come save me. Something tells me you know how to save me. I've been feeling real low. Oh.
you to be my doctor. We gotta get a crack at chiropractor.
Hey, we're Shepherd.
Hi, it's Lee Kernigan.
Hi, this is Melissa Couts.
Hey, this is Anthony Kalia.
Hey, this is Betty Who.
Hey, this is Conrad Sewell.
Hey, we're the Veronicas.
Hey, this is Samantha Jade.
Hey, I'm Shannon Noll.
Hi, this is George Paris.
Hi, this is Kate Sobrano.
Hi, this is Dami Im.
Hey, this is Giorgio Moroder.
Hey, this is Guy Sebastian.
Hey, this is Ricky Lee.
Hi, we're Little Mix.
Hey, guys, this is Johnny Ruffo here.
This is Taylor Henderson.
Hi, this is Gina G.
Hi, we're McBusted.
Hey, everyone, this is Emily Williams.
Hi, this is Gabrielle Aplin.
Hi, this is Christine Anu.
Kia ora, I'm Bick Runger.
Hi, this is Casey Barnes.
Hi, this is Cosma DeVito.
Hey, this is Georgia.
And Caleb from Broods.
Hey, this is Casey Donovan.
Ciao, this is Patricio Buane.
Hi, we're Aqua.
Hey guys, this is Adam Lambert, and you're inside the Sound Museum on Joy 94.9.
Listen to the sound when you listen to the sound when you listen to the sound when you.
Welcome to another Sound Museum on Joy 94.9, Australia's only gay and lesbian radio station, coming to you live from Melbourne in Australia. 94.9 FM, joy.org.au if you're streaming us live around the world. Myself, Brian, and co-host Leo. G'day, Leo.
Hey, guys. How are you going?
I'm good.
Tuesday night, a bit cold outside.
It is absolutely freezing out there.
Some hot music tonight.
Yes.
To warm you up. Now, of course, you can stream us online at joy.org.au. You can follow us on Twitter and Facebook and Instagram, SoundMuseum949. Now, tonight's show, Brian, a new Brisbane band, actually from the Gold Coast, actually.
You've been listening to a podcast of Transpositions. Check out the program grid for the live show time at joy.org.au. And for more podcasts, head to joy.org.au/transpositions.
Thanks for listening to another Joy podcast, brought to you by Australia's LGBTQIA+ community media organisation, Joy. Help us keep Joy on air. Head to joy.org.au. Joy, a diverse sound for a diverse community.